Hallelujah. Feel the good Lord in this house, don't you? I do. I feel His good presence right here. Thank you, musicians. God bless you so much. Again, thank you to your pastor. Appreciate him. I look back now, and you know, it's amazing now the number of years that we've been able to come by here and just the friendships that we've made. And I look across this congregation, and I see men and women, they've prayed for our family, and they've made sacrifices for our home, and we thank you for that. I'm believing God to help us this week. We need a move of the Lord. I stress that again. We need a move of God. We need there to be a hunger that's stirred in our hearts again, where the Lord searches us and deals with us and helps us, refines us, moves upon us. And that fire would be so contagious that it would touch other lives as well. We're too close to the end to ever be playing games now. We're coming down to the final moments, the final seconds. This thing's just about to wrap up. We don't know when it may be, but it's soon and very, very soon. And I'm telling you, we need to do all that we can in the little time we have left. I want God to help us this week. I want the Lord to touch us. I've said it before. I'll say it again. If you're needing the Lord to speak to you, He's not going to do it between commercials. He's not going to do it when your mind's filled with everything else in that world. You'll get alone with Him. You'll shut yourself in with Him. You'll get serious about finding God. You'll be like Jacob of old. You'll wrestle with Him. And you'll say, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Somebody said, our biggest problem is unanswered prayer. I said, no, our biggest problem is unoffered prayer. We don't really put it up to the Lord like we need to. But I believe if we will, He will answer. And how many of you know He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or think? Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I know that you do, I want to read from two separate portions of Scripture, beginning first of all in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18 and 21. And then James chapter 3 and verse number 1. Proverbs 18 and 21, James chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now I'll read just two verses out of the book of James to begin with, but I'll be making a lot of references back to the book of James throughout tonight, Lord willing. Proverbs 18 and 21, and this is a verse that I don't just stress to this church, but this is a verse I stress inside of our home. Because this is important. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's a whole lot that can be said right here. One man said it like this, there's a lot of things we open that we don't mean to, but probably none more than our own mouths. Say amen. James 3:1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. I want to speak to us tonight. I want to speak to someone tonight on this thought. Taming your tongue. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to help us, Lord. I pray, God, give us wisdom tonight. Help your people. Let us be careful and most careful. Lord, we live in a world that thinks nothing of the words that fly from their mouth, nothing of the words, not only what they say, but how they say it. But God, we are not to be called to be so. Lord, you've called us to be separate, to come out from among them. I pray, touch your people again and remind us tonight, God, the importance of the words that we say and the way that we say them to who we say them to. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, help your people once again. Give us wisdom and direction. And for this we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Beloved, words are very important things. One statistic read that on average day, the average American engages in no less than 30 different conversations. Men on average speak between 20 and 30,000 words a day. Women, about 30 to 50,000. Say amen, brothers. Hallelujah. And one man said, do you mind if your wife gets the last word? He said, I don't mind if she gets the last word. I'm just glad when she gets there. Be careful your words. Be careful. Words can get you in a lot of trouble pretty fast. I heard about one young man. He worked at a grocery store. And a lady came up to him, an older lady, and she said, son, I want a half a head of lettuce. He said, well, ma'am, we don't sell a half a head of lettuce. She said, did you hear me? I want a half a head of lettuce. He said, well, one moment. Let me go in the back and see what I can look for and ask for. And sure enough, he walks to the back and he calls out to the boss. He says, boss, he says, we got a customer out here. She's lost her mind. She's crazy. She wants a half a head of lettuce. And about that time, he turned around and there was that lady standing right behind him. He looked back at the boss. She said, but it's okay because this dear sweet woman right here wants the other half of that lettuce. Say, words. Words can get you in trouble really fast. And what the proverb and what James teaches us tonight is that words are a sign of your spiritual maturity. When James speaks, and he speaks of that same as the perfect man. Now that word perfect there, teleos in the Greek, and it literally means mature. And what he's saying to you and me is this: if a man is mature in the Lord, he has control over his mouth. And if a man does not have control over his mouth, then it is a sign that he has no spiritual maturity. If you're one of those people, you just let her rip, tater chip, and you say anything that comes off your mind, and you speak any way you want, that is a sign that you are not nearly as mature as you think you are in the Lord. When somebody said, well, you know, it's just who I am. No, it's not. It's deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. And James deals with that. And beloved, it's not something we can overlook. It's not something we need to neglect. It's not something we need to say, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Our words matter. What we say, to who we say, how we say, it matters. I don't want my home. One man said, what's your definition of a home? The cynic replied this. He said, a home's a place you go when you're tired of being nice to people. I don't want my home to be a place I run to and speak evil and roughly. I want my home to be filled with pleasant words. I want my daughters, and my daughters have heard Dad speak on this threadbare times, the power of words, the power of how we speak one to another, the power of the tone of our voice and the way that we say it to one another. Now, it's interesting because you can use the same word and can mean two different worlds apart. Hey, you want to go to such and such? That'll be fine. Hey, you want to go to such and such? Fine. Fine. Is fine, fine? Not when it's said like that. You know when they look at you and they go, fine. Fine does not mean fine. Fine means if that's what you want, go ahead and do it, but it's not what I want to do. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Inside your home, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And beloved, hear me, because it's inside our home, we kind of give each other this pass, and we think, well, you know, it's just us, and it really doesn't matter. It does matter. Friend, I want you to treat your wife kinder than you treat me. Say amen. I want you to treat your children with kinder words than you treat my children. I really mean that because, beloved, if Satan's going to attack anywhere first, it's going to be inside of your home. And he's going to want there to be division inside of that. And how does that division begin? It begins with the words you say and how you say them. Oh, boy, it's getting kind of tight in here already and hadn't even got good and started in this thing yet. James deals with that tonight, and I want to deal with it by the help and grace of God. And he lets us know there's this dangerous significance to words. He says it like this in verses 3 and 4. Behold, we put the bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Friend, what is he saying to you and me tonight? He gives these two picture words. He gives this picture of a huge horse, and then he gives this picture of a very large ship. And here's this horse, and it's 225, maybe 250 pounds, and there's this little bitty jockey on, and he's maybe 130 pounds, soaking wet, maybe 125, and yet that little man can steer that mighty horse. Why? Because he's got this bit inside of his mouth. And then there's this picture of this very large ship, and yet this huge ship can be turned any direction you want. Why? Because a man has a small little helm, and that small little helm directs that small little rudder, and that rudder directs the way that large ship is going. What is he teaching you and me? This small little mouth will give direction to your life. If you want your life to be ruined, your mouth will take you there. If you want your life to be blessed, amen, your mouth will take you there. It matters what you say. It gives direction to your life. You can ruin your hopes and chances because you got a, what did they say, smart mouth. And we say it's smart, we could call it a dumb mouth. It directs your life. If you are ungrateful as a child, young person, hear me. If you show no gratitude as a child, it's going to be really hard for you to show gratitude as an adult. Words matter. They direct our way. They direct our lives. I remember years ago we were speaking to Brother and Sister Martin. Of course, she's went on to heaven, precious saint. But they told us as they were preaching to one certain Native American tribe, they said they had no word for thank you in their language. What does that say about a culture? What does that say about a people that have no word for thank you? It says to me they have no culture of gratitude. Now, I find myself in a few different lands. I just flew in Friday from the Dominican Republic. Lord willing, next month I'll be in Poland there with Brother Harvey Moore, and I'll probably talk about more about that later. Then in June, back to El Salvador, then down to Brazil. I can't speak all their languages, but here's my one endeavor. Whatever country I go in, I want to make sure I know how to say the word thank you. I'm not going to try to get up here and impress anybody, but I could probably do it in quite a few languages tonight. Just because that's one huge word wherever you go. Why? Because it shows a heart of gratitude. Friend, words still matter. Can you say amen? And I know sometimes we say, well, yeah, but we know them and we've been to church with them so long, and thank yous really don't matter. Thank yous still matter. Gratitude still matter. Yeah, but you know, he's pastored here for 20 some odd years. He knows. Friend, can I tell you tonight? It still matters. Just a small text, just a small word, just a little uplifting, encouraging word. Those things still matter. Can you say amen? It gives direction to your life. The word picture that he says is, it'll either bring you to a safe harbor or a reef of ruin. Friend, things are directed by the words we say. Things can either be stirred up or things can be smoothed over by the words you say. You know how churches get started? Words. Words. Somebody had to speak something. You know how churches get destroyed? Words. You know how families are built? Words. You know how families are destroyed? Words. Get the picture? I preached in Europe, well, a few times, but back in 2015, I remember I preached for two different men whose fathers were both Nazis. And I asked them, and I remember it's kind of an uncomfortable setting. I kind of wish I would not have asked that question. But I said, why would your father ever want to follow Mr. Hitler? And one man, he never did answer me. But the answer was so evident because of the words. Now, you may not understand that German speech, and I may not understand that German speech. But as evil as they were, remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. And he could use such those words to stir up anger. And that's an emotion. And that's a powerful emotion. Friend, hear me. Never underestimate the power of those angry words. When you find yourself around somebody that's continually angry, you remember this. The proverb says, make no friendship with an angry man, lest you learn his ways and he become a snare unto thee. There are some people you need to saturate with your absence, because all they do is make you angry when you get around them, and you don't need that poison in your life. I don't know, maybe you're like me. Maybe you already have enough problems. I don't need any more problems, which means I don't need to be around people, and all they do is want to tear down and trash other people, and all they are is continually angry, because their words are poisonous. It shows direction. It even shows destruction. Even so, the tongue, verse 5, is a little member. I hope I'm not boring you tonight. I'm trying to help somebody. It boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Now, what's that speaking about? In other words, it only takes a little spark to start a huge fire. Whew. It only takes a little, and some of us can have a tongue like a torch. All it takes is one bad attitude at the dinner table to ruin everything. Boy, that got a little tight right there. Pray, honey, pray. Now, I've had to ponder this question. I've really had to think about it. But I really feel confident in my assessment of it now. I've personally come to the conclusion, for me and for my house, gossip is just as wrong as vulgarity. If a man were to come to my family and a man were to start to speaking profane words in front of my girls, in front of them, you know as good as I do, we'd look at them and say, I'm sorry, sir, we don't speak those words, and I would appreciate it if you would dare not say such things in front of the ears of my children. I would stop him flat-footed. I would exit that communication as fast as I could. And yet at the same time, we have many members of our family, many members of our churches throughout this land. They can sit there. Their ears can be poisoned by gossiping words that tear down and kill and steal and destroy. When's the time we look around and we say, I'm sorry, but that is just as wrong as vulgarity? And the same way that I would not allow a man to speak such profane words in the ears of my children, neither will I allow that same man to speak such gossip into the ears of my family. I will not stand for it. I will not take it. It's a little fire, but oh, that little fire, how it burns and destroys and grows. If we don't stop it when it's small, it'll only take over. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. I wrote this down one time. I came across it and filed it. I am more deadly than the screaming shell of a howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth and no respect for justice and no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sand of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip. Verse number 6 said, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. What is he speaking about here? Thank you for asking. I never thought you would. Here's what he's saying. It's a trail. And the trail set back here. And you light the match. And you begin to burn that powder. And man, that trail begins to take off. And all of a sudden it, boom. It starts over here, but it sets a course. And the Bible said that course leads to hell. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A.B. Simpson once said this. There are those that Or rather, he said, I had rather played with forked lightning and taken to my hands living wires with fiery currents than to recklessly speak a word against any servant of Christ or idly repeat the slanderous darts to which thousands of quote-unquote Christians are hurling on others. Now, I can say this because you've heard me speak before. I didn't grow up in as far as a pastor's home, and there come a time, obviously, when my mother and father decided to go their separate ways, and I looked at both of them and said, love you both, but I'm not going to backslide over this. I'm going to serve God anyway. I didn't spit evil words. I didn't agree with what they did, but I didn't want to spit death out. I'm not condoning what they did, but I didn't want to spit death out of my mouth. I do remember one time when I was a young man. My parents were a lot closer to God then, obviously. And I remember one time there was a man that called the house, and he kind of had a reputation for destroying things with his mouth. And I remember, it's the only time we ever got a phone call like that. My mother answered the phone. She said, yes, yes. I'm sorry, we don't talk about things like that in this home. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Bye. Click. I remember, I couldn't have been any older than Savannah was, 11. But that small little thing sticks out in my mind. Your kids are watching you. Your children are watching you. They are observing. They are silently taking note. And friend, hear me. Not only is it a dangerous significance, but James teaches us it's a defiant stubbornness. The tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. In other words, if you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to be able to control it. Oh, I can control it. No. You just haven't been bumped in the right way. You hadn't been bumped by the right person at the right time. You let somebody bump you the wrong way at the wrong time, it's going to come out. If it's in that heart, it's going to come out. You cannot control it on your own. You must walk in the Spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, friend, it is also very inconsistent. Verse number 9 says it like this, whereby bless we God, even the Father, and whereby curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Hallelujah. Have you ever went to church and on the same Sunday lifted up God, and after you left there begin to tear down men? James said, brothers, these things ought not be so. We worship God, and in less than 24 hours we tore down men made in the image of God. James said, brothers, it ought not be so. Like that one woman, you heard about that one woman. She was going home from church and she looked at her husband and she said, Frank, did you notice today that the choir was a little flat? And he said, well, Doris, I didn't really notice that. She said, Frank, you've got to be kidding me. Well, surely you noticed that the preaching today just seemed a little weak. And he said, Doris, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even notice that. Frank, you've got to be kidding me. Surely you noticed those children that sat just a few rows ahead of us. They could not sit still for anything. Surely you noticed that, Frank. And he said back to her again, he said, Doris, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even notice that. And she said, Frank, sometimes I wonder why you even bother going to church. Say amen. You wonder, what did they get out of it? Why did they really come in the first place? What were they looking for to begin with? Because you always find what you're looking for. You want to find some good, you'll find it here. Hey, you want to find a blessing, you'll find it here. And you know what? Can I open my? If you want to be critical, Just keep looking. You'll find it, okay? You'll find it. If you've got that critical eye and you've just got to fight, you will just keep looking that direction. You'll go that direction. But if you came in saying, I need God and I need the touch of God, then that's what your heart's going to gravitate to. And everybody else can look around you and say, yeah, but what about this and what about that? But you'll say, no, Lord, I'm going to praise you and give you glory. I'm not going to speak death. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to walk back in that house and tell my unsaved loved one how God moved in the service tonight and how God healed and how God blessed. I'm not going to let that unsaved man know anything but the goodness of the living God. How let somebody say, amen. We need hearts again. And to say, Lord, let my words be fitly spoken. Let there be life in my heart. Let me sing the praises of God. Let me lift up the name of the living God. Let there be life and not death in the words that I say. Can somebody give him praise? Now, James tells something to you and me tonight. He says it's a deeper source than what you realize. Because whether we understand this or not, words don't start here. Words start right here. This is where words start. Verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. He likens it unto this well. And he's saying it's deeper than that. And verse number 14 says this. But if ye have bitter envying and strife, where? Here's the words to underline. In your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Friend, if your words speak constant death, there's something wrong with your heart. If inside your home there's constant words of death, look at me, there's something wrong with your heart. If every person you come across, your only form of communication is tearing somebody down, and I know people, they cannot hold a conversation any other way. That means there's something wrong with your heart. It's a well. He said, what's in that well comes up in that bucket. If it comes out here, it's because it was deep down in here. I had a woman tell me one time, Brother Stephen, she said, I just told that lady this, 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 and then, I mean, she's just going down the list, telling me everything she said, that's like my mouth's about dropped open. And then finally she turns around and puts a little spiritual touch to it and says, you know, that's just not me. I don't even know why I said that, Brother Zane. I look back at her and I just wax bold. And Lord, I said, I'll tell you why you said that, because that's who you are and that's what's in your heart. It's in your heart. The words that come out of your mouth, it's in your heart. Critical spirit, critical heart. Negative words, negative heart. Cutting words, hurting heart. If you ever meet somebody and all they do is tear down other people, watch, I promise you this. Somewhere in their life, they are hurting themselves. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. Encouraging words, encouraging heart. Kind words, oh, you figured it out now. Kind heart. Holy words, holy heart. I've just come by to tell somebody tonight, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I haven't been in your home. I haven't sat by your dinner table. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But I do know in a time of seeking God and praying, I feel led to tell somebody, you need to search your heart. Buy a dictionary and get words new. That doesn't change your heart. You'll go back to those old ways. What you need is for God to touch your heart. You need God to help your heart. So there can be peace that comes out of your mouth. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Sister Estes, help me here tonight. As far as I need to go. As far as I need to go. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. James asked this question. It's a poignant question. It's pointed right at you and me. Verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." That wisdom, verse 17, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So I say into our hearts tonight, is it time that we ask the Lord to search us? Is it time that we ask God to deal with our hearts, that our words would change? That our words would change. I close with this simple scripture, and you can start any time you'd like, Sister Estes. Psalm 141 in verse 1. "Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." If the well's wrong, the water's going to be wrong. And you never purify the water by simply painting the pump. It never works. It's got to get a different source. It's got to get a different source. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not here to try to separate you. I would never try to hurt you in any belittle. You know that. You know me well enough. But I do need you to have an open and honest moment, because you know what's going on in your life. You know what's going on in your home. You know what's going on in your heart. And I've not come to tear you down. I've come to help you up here tonight. Because you know what? I want your home to be the dearest place on earth and the nearest place to heaven. I mean, if you can't be in heaven, might as well be able to sit around the dinner table with your loved ones, share a meal, enjoy one another's company, interested in each other's day, laugh together, weep together, pray together, and feel the peace of God together. Oh, that God would give us words in our homes that would make for peace. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Father, forgive us, God. Forgive us, oh Lord, for the times, God, that we've let words so easily slip from our mouth. Words of death and not life. And I pray, touch your people tonight. God, touch your people tonight. Touch your people, God, that we would be careful, most careful, God. That our hearts would be right with you, that we would have a set door over our mouth. Lord, that we would not have idle words, but uplifting words. I pray, God, keep us, God. Let us be aware of this. Deal with us. Oh, God, deal with us. And, Lord, I'm asking you tonight, heal, God, the homes that are here tonight. Heal, God, the conversations that have cut. Heal, God, from the words that have infected. Heal, God, from the sorrow, God, that's been slanderously said. Send your healing. And may we leave these altars tonight, God, with a new outlook and a clean heart, speaking the beautiful, wonderful words of life.